for. Here's a good game. Arena Ball.
Let's have some fun. This beat is sick. I wanna take a ride on your disco stick. Let's have some fun. This beat is sick. I wanna take a ride on your disco stick.
And welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, twitter.com/@repacked, and on the other side of the glass is twitter.com/@sidelines14. Sidelines, how are you this week?
Doing good. I'm glad that intro went better than mine last week.
Oh, it was a classic. As I said, you got to go and listen to it. Yes, Tim Capper, JP Worley, this is AFL Tonight. Your weekly look at all arena football. Can't say AF2, but it's all arena football now. I think what's funny, JP, is everybody is really getting up in arms about it. It's like, you know, they're comparing. It's like AF2 versus AFL, AF2.0. It's all the same. They just got to understand, like, come on, people. It's one league. Yes, you have some players and whatnot. They're AF2 stars. They're now in the AFL. It's not the AFL. It's not the AFL. It's a hybrid of the two.
Right.
And,
yeah. It's arena football.
Exactly. It's arena football. And I keep looking at how I'm, you know, mentioning stuff on, whether it be on Twitter or Facebook or whatnot, or over at our message boards. Like, maybe I should just change it instead of, you know, like this week, it was Damien Harrell reaches 1,000 career interceptions, being the second player in arena football history. I think one of the main reasons why I would actually put it that way is because we don't have the combined stats and combined history for records of both leagues.
I don't think they kept stats in the AF2.
I can actually...
They kind of just played the games and paid the players, and then they went on to next week.
Well, if they were using Darktronics like they're doing now, I can understand why. Everything would just be so crappy. Horrible.
Yeah.
Other than that, I know one thing. I'm going to make fun of myself with this. Last week when I was doing I just did it now. I was going through what I was cutting out of last week's broadcast. Every other thing was, it's like, dude, Tim, you got to stop. It's going to turn into a drinking game. It's going to be like a Bon Jovi drinking game. It's like when you're watching the AFL on Friday night, Arena Football Fridays. Whenever you see those ads, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, where they end up going, and this one's for John. It's like, oh my God, give me a drink. So I don't want my umming and umming turning into a drinking game, because nobody will get through, and I don't want to be the cause of anybody's overdose and accidental death.
Well, I think that's probably the only way we're going to get listeners is
accidental death.
is people that result to alcoholism decide to listen to us, and they're like, oh, wow.
Hi, and welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, 3841589, and on the other side of the glass is inmate number 213496. No?
Too much? Yeah, too
okay.
much.
Yeah,
funny, but too much.
And mark this down as cutting it. Okay.
Yeah, we'll edit that out and post.
See, there it is! Drink! interesting amount of games. I will admit, I don't know how much you watch. I know you watched probably very little games this past week. I know that you were busy. There were...
I watched the game of the week, the NFL Network game, and that was about it.
And what did you... I mean, has the coverage, in your opinion, gotten any better, or does the league look like... like garbage, especially with the type of games that we've been having the past couple of weeks?
Well, I wouldn't say – I wouldn't go as far as say as garbage. But I have noticed the scoring's up. Little AF2-ish, not as bad. We still haven't seen the triple digits yet.
I really don't think that's ever going to happen again, because when – when the 103 points were scored.
Well, you can always get that Team A versus that Team X. And Team A is having their A game, and Team X is definitely having their X game, and you may see a triple digit.
So you don't mean Team A and Team X. You're talking about Team A and Team U, as in Utah?
Quite possibly.
They've actually gotten better. They've right. actually gotten a little bit better. It's a matter of this week. What about Orlando? They're having their first home game back in the jungle.
I know that should be interesting.
Question is, how many fans show up?
I want to talk to Predator Nation and say, hey, go out and support your team.
If you're not
win or lose,
if you're not watching the game on NFL Network,
it will be blacked out in your area. So go to the game. You gotta follow your team. You gotta stay behind your team. I know there's guys out there that are like, oh, I don't like this new league. I don't like the guys that are running the league. I don't like my new owner of my team. You know, where they just stole the team name and the colors. You gotta support this as a whole entity, as a whole league. Because all it takes is a few teams here and there, and it kind of breaks the whole mold.
You know, what happens to some of those people who look at the current attendance records that there are and saying this league may not survive what it currently is? No.
Taking the year off definitely hurt, no matter what league came back.
Sort of like the 94 strike in baseball?
Yes. It's going to take time for it to come back, but it can come back. I mean, you just got to have, you know, your fans, your diehards that will stay there. And there are diehards out there. They don't care. I know some of the people I've been talking to out in California cannot wait for Arena Football to come back. They don't even care who owns the team or who's on the team.
Well, especially if it is the cities like San Jose and L.A., like you had mentioned prior. By the way,
Right. Anybody
who did not happen to hear that particular conversation, there is always a way to find out. Go listen to last week's episode of AFL Tonight. It's still there on iTunes, and you know what, GP? It's free.
Free. Can't beat that.
No, but I...
Well, actually, I guess you can. It would be a Rattlers home game.
That. Whoa. Nice.
Hey, whatever puts the fans in the stands, I say. Because, I mean, I will stand by the whole, if you've seen it live, you're hooked for life.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. I've been hooked since 94.
Yeah, same thing here. And I did not see my first game until early 90s. And I was hooked. I remember being giddy, and I mean giddy, walking through the concourse and through the doors first time into the arena over at Knickerbocker Arena over in Albany. I was giddy. I'd never seen a game before in person. Seen a game maybe here and there on TV that I can mm-hmm. remember. But it was, I agree with you. You can be hooked for life with this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was 15. I have loved sports ever since I was, you know, as far back as I can remember. So any kind of live sports to me, I was going to give it a shot, you know, and I was pumped for.
Mm-hmm.
Dad got tickets from a friend of his from work. Me, my brother, my dad went. We moved down to the front row. We were sitting on, I believe, the 10-yard line or so. And it was fun. It was fun to watch. The teams had interesting names. The Thunderbolts did a really good job of getting the fans pumped in pregame.
And you got
CDCs.
You got the free balls too.
Thunderstruck. I got my hand on a ball. The guy next to me got the ball.
Of course,
didn't give it to the two teenagers sitting next to him.
Give it to the kid.
Me and my brother. We played the Miami Hooters.
That's hilarious. That's who my first game was versus too.
We thought it was hilarious. The local Hooters girls were in town because they were there. And I remember leaving. We lost the game, but leaving wanting to go to another game.
Yeah.
Telling my dad, hey, we got to get tickets to next season. You know, if we can get season tickets, let's get season tickets and go to every single game. And unfortunately, that was, you know, the last game in the last season that Cleveland played until their return in 2008. But I was hooked for life.
Yeah.
I became a Rattlers fan because they won the championship in 94. The Buffalo Destroyers came to town in 99 and played a preseason game at Gund Arena in Cleveland. I was the first one to buy tickets. And it's just, yeah, go see it live and you'll, you know, you won't watch anything else.
Well, I think it actually proves what you just said. And for those of you who don't know our histories, is that we have been combined. We have been to so many cities with so many games. JP and I have met up a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's you. No matter who your team is, it's just a matter of going to it. I've had multiple AFL teams that I've been fans of. I've had season tickets myself. I had season tickets to the Toronto Phantoms for their two-year existence. So I traveled all the way from Montreal to Toronto via train to go see a Phantoms game.
On Thursday nights.
It was more so on the first season. Because of the way it was in the second season, Thursday games were, that's one of the worst days of the week that you can actually make a game.
Oh, yeah. It's worse than Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoons, actually, when it comes to CFL and my preference, I love Sunday afternoon games.
Oh, for CFL?
Yeah,
it's not for arena football.
No. Hmm. I think the only Sunday afternoon game I had to go to was Arena Bowl. Arena Bowl 13.
Right.
But when you look at what we're going to be talking about before, you look at the teams folding and whatnot, does the... Yes, fans may come back, but what about some of these markets? You look at some of the attendances. You know, Alabama, they can't do much about what they are with the size of their arena. Bossier City, Milwaukee. Is their attendance something to be worried about? Will they ever get to that next level, or will they always have? And unfortunately, I don't mean to be... you know, negative when I say this, but it's AF2 attendances.
Milwaukee concerns me big time. They've got a team that
they got a monster team. Look at the wide receivers.
Yeah.
Look at your quarterback, Milwaukee.
And they had a market too. Had a market in the original AFL. I mean, last week I compared them to the Cubs. The team didn't play particularly well and only had two winning seasons in their existence, but the fans came out to watch them. You know, I don't know where all these fans went. I don't know if the population of Milwaukee dropped in the past 6 or 8 years.
Or the maybe the difference of how long the team was since the team was there.
Was gone.
Yeah, I mean, Bossier City, we'll go with Bossier City. Bossier City is actually run by a very, very dedicated owner. And I think he would probably keep the team there, even if the team drew 2,500 fans a game. I mean, they don't draw that many over the CenturyTel Center over in Bossier City. So I don't think they're much of a problem. You know, are the days of drawing $2 million a year gone? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For how long? For how long? I don't know.
It depends on what markets they get into and how many teams they decide to
exactly.
take.
Exactly. How many fans is LA going to draw again? San Jose. Will they continue to say sold out? Possibly.
San Jose will. From the fans I've talked to, it seems, yeah, like I said, they don't care. They want arena football back so bad. I think they would support a team that didn't win. But, I mean, that would be kind of crazy coming out of San Jose.
And then You have, let's see, well, so you can't do anything about Alabama.
I mean, you move
Oklahoma
those
City. Oklahoma City sort of, they've actually stayed almost the same. They drew okay when they were at the Myriad. I think they're playing at the Myriad. But OKC is a little bit worrisome. Tulsa, they've always been steady around 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 people. Mm-hmm. You know, not, I guess not everybody can be a Spokane. Cannot be in Iowa. The Iowa was only drawing 8,400 last week. I was very surprised about, but I was under the impression that there was a lot going on in the Des Moines area last weekend. Jacksonville
probably had some county fair or something going on.
Corn shucking. Get your shucked corn here. Shucked corn.
Cow tipping competition.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
No, the Iowa fans are good.
Oh, Iowa fans are like Spokane. They're like L.A. They're like San Jose. They were like Orlando was like that. Orlando mm-hmm. fans will see. Arizona fans, it's still up in the air. You know, not every game, you know, is free. You do have to pay. Jacksonville, we'll see. Now, at least my next question, mm-hmm. and it is, of the current cities, in your opinion, JP, which city does not deserve their franchise? It doesn't have to be a long spiel about what it is, but why?
The state of Oklahoma.
Dude,
no, I'm just kidding.
It's
stupid. I'm just kidding. Alabama. I know we don't have the rules in place for the whole seating capacity thing that the old AFL regime had.
Yeah, it was a minimum of had to be an arena over 10,000 seats.
Right. But I mean, if you have a place that their place only seats what 5,000-6,000,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and they're still not selling that out, that tells you something.
And the Vipers have been a perennial powerhouse over the years, especially AF2.
Right. That would concern me. You know, when you have a place that's half or a third the size of some of these other arenas, and you still can't sell it out to where, you know, you have at least 90% of it filled.
Mm-hmm.
That would concern me. Especially with it being so few fans. Now, if you had, say, a 10,000 seat arena and you were selling 6 or 7, I think, or you were selling 5 or 6, say, I would see that as low, but better than a team with 6,000 seats and they can't even fill those 6,000.
But then again, people may come back with, you know, we're at X percentage. Like, okay, yeah, I understand. You know, you bring 6,000 into a 10,000 seat state arena, sure, 60%. You have 3,500 in a 6,000. You're still below, you know, you're just above 50.
I was going to say 60% of nothing is nothing.
Well, a lot of these places may not sell out. Not everybody can be in Iowa, a Spokane, consistently.
Well, I mean, you know, keep the numbers up at least.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because some of these places, you know, like Cleveland's got a 20,000 seat arena
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's 19,000 for arena football. And they're packing in over 10,000. So, yeah, that's a little over 50%, but I rather see those 10,000 than to see 4,000 people in a 6,000 seat arena.
Yeah, that's, yeah, okay.
So percentage, I guess, plays a role up to a certain point, but it's more or less the number of bodies when you're that low of a capacity.
And I think the arena is an older arena. I mean, I've seen the school board. I don't even know if they have a school board on the ceiling
Is it like the? Is it called a Civic Center?
No. This one's called.
Oh, so it's not that old.
No, it's not that old. Not that old. But
it brings me back to my 2001 days with the Thunder Bears, and we were at the Charleston Civic Center in Charleston, West Virginia.
Oh, wow. Fun.
Oh, that was fun. You could hear a pin drop in that place.
Oh, I'm sure.
When the people were cheering.
Oh, nice, nice.
That's how few people showed up. Oh, yeah.
For me...
From the outside of the Civic Center, you didn't even know anything was going on that night.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
You got to have a tailgate. You got to have something. You got to have promotion. And maybe that's just another case of what needs to be done. But I'm worried about the AF2 markets. Former AF2 markets.
No, I think we can still consider them an AF2 market this season. And possibly next season. After that, yeah.
Okay, I know. Actually,
there's going to be no more crutch. You see what I'm saying?
We can change it, though. I think we can change it. Like we had, remember, they used a term before the AF2 was around. Let's call them small market teams.
Okay.
You know, we can compromise. Call them small market teams.
Is that the PC way of calling them?
Calling them an AF2 franchise? Yeah. A former AF2 franchise? Yeah. For me, right now, I think the city that does not deserve its franchise is Utah. And mainly it is because of the amount of the attendance that they're drawing. The team is okay. They were a late starting, you know, the team is late getting going, name, players, etc., and it's showing within the first couple of weeks. They have improved.
They shot themselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can blame them for that, though.
Also, it's a switch. It makes me wonder how loyal former AFL Blaze fans, or whatever, were to the original owner. How loyal they were to him. Yes, it's a different arena, too. Sure.
Right.
I think it's another 10 to 15 minutes from the Energy Solutions Arena in Salt Lake. So, maybe there's like wrenching last week with Arizona. Maybe there's a little bit of repercussion, but maybe, as you said, it could be very similar to what happened with Major League Baseball back in 94, 95.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but it's just in my opinion.
Well, with Utah, I think their problems stem from, the late start. The late decision on whether they were going to keep the Thunder name, not pay for the Blaze name, the late signings of the players.
I think that's a problem, too, because everybody, you see the Thunder, you associated them with the AIFA.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe former AFL 1.0 fans still think of the team as an AIFA team, no matter the name. No matter the uniforms.
Well, I wouldn't go that far with it. I would say that it is the late start, the late signing of the players, probably had the fans double guessing the team.
Yeah.
Should I get behind this new owner that came from a smaller league, who's playing small ball with the name, playing small ball with the players? You know, this team doesn't look like it's going to be very good because, you know, all the good players were taken, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think you alienated fans that way. But with the team, the original Utah Blaze, only being there for a few seasons, I don't see them saying, oh, well, I want to stay loyal to the old owner. I don't think I would go that far.
Okay.
They weren't around long enough. Like, I will say, though, when San Jose comes back next season and somehow it's not Fry owning the team, even though it's going to be, but let's just say it wasn't.
Yeah.
I could see the loyal SaberCats fans saying, "Hey, no, I'm not going to support a
second tier team,
a makeshift SaberCats team."
Okay, a team in name only.
Right, but I won't say all of them because the few that I have talked to, they don't care. They just want to be back in the big leagues. That they're going to go watch the Wolves play, you know, a game or two, just to get their fix.
Yeah.
But they can't wait until next season when the real deal comes back.
I want to see those fans back. You know, I want to see Chris and Corey, the Chris and Corys. I want to see Rainbow Wig. I want to see Avengers fan. You know, mm-hmm. I want those fans.
The Avengers too. That would probably be a good actual example.
Mm-hmm.
If LA comes back, say under Fry's ownership, and it's not Wasserman, I could see maybe some of their fans saying, "No, I don't think I want to support a team in name only."
I think in that situation, I think it's a little bit different because I think everybody knows how well Fry runs his teams, how well he treats his players, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it'd be the same as what I'm thinking in Utah, but I could be totally wrong. I mean, what do you fans think? I mean, are we totally off kilter when it comes to our choices? Do you think there should be another team, another city that does not currently really deserve
a
team?
And Grand Rapids, they don't deserve a team either.
Well,
never mind. The truck area came and went with their stuff.
That's right. I think it was U-Haul this time around.
Was it U-Haul this time?
Yeah, it wasn't Ryder. But you can weigh in as fans. There are multiple ways you can do it. Over at twitter.com/arenafan. Facebook.com/ArenaFan, and you can email me at tim.capper@arenafan.com.
Because we want your feedback, because I want to know. Because like I said, I talk to certain fans, and maybe they're biased in the fact that they're not your typical average fan. Mm-hmm. They're more of your super fan, more of your diehard AFL fan.
Yeah.
To where they would support even though
a team in name.
A team in name only. And a league that some people are saying is a league in name only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just because it's the show in the name doesn't mean the product's going to be the same.
It's true.
Which is probably another discussion for a whole nother show.
Yep. And we had an interesting our fantasy staff fantasy and all fantasy deluxe teams were finally drafted this past week. Anybody who is
with all the bugs worked out.
Yes, and something I hadn't noticed, and it was an interesting bug to say the least. But I know the reason why it occurred, and we got it fixed. But anybody who has joined the Deluxe Fantasy, good luck. Keep an eye on the other, you know, on the other leagues. You know, make trades if you have to. Don't be afraid to make trades. And you may not get what you want, but there's also the free agency list too. But from what I've seen, I think JP and I will be hyping when we play each other.
Yeah.
You're going down.
Sure. Your team, no.
Well, I was about to say.
That's the only thing why you're harping on people to trade.
Oh, no. I don't care about that.
Because you need trades.
No.
You need trades.
I've seen some rosters that are a lot worse than mine in some of the other leagues. So, but there's free agencies, too. So, and there are some great players out in free agency, actually. But we'll banter back and forth when it comes to that. When it comes to when do we play each other? By the way, I'm the Toronto Phantoms in the don't remember what league now.
In the Foster
League. And JP, you are
the Vegas Gladiators.
Las Vegas Gladiators. Ooh, talk about deja vu. All over again. Eight ball.
I'm going to run my team into the ground in hopes of moving it to another city.
There you go. There you go. Eight ball.
Performance bonuses, you're on the bench. That's you're on the bench.
What do you, franchise player. Market player.
It won't let me sign old NFL players. What the hell?
You're cut. You're cut. Cut. You over there? You're cut, too.
Cut. You're on kickoff duty.
Oh, you're kicker? Cut.
Yeah.
Eight ball versus humans? Yeah, okay. It was four games this week.
Hard not to do good this week.
Some people actually did pretty horrible. Just go check out the main things. But it's all of us, myself, JP, and the infamous 8-Ball all went 3-1 on the week. That's the first winning week of the year for 8-Ball. He's not even close to us yet, still.
It's the juice. Ever since he's been off the juice, he just hasn't been making the picks.
Something. Maybe he had a bye week or something. I don't know. I don't know.
He's crashing, and he's crashing hard.
That's right. That's right. You're going down, you damn blue ball! for this week, JP and I almost picked the same teams across the board.
We did pick the same teams.
No, we had one different. Oh. I actually picked Oklahoma City over Dallas. And
you picked Dallas.
But besides that, we picked the exact same teams. For the year, I'm tied for first. I'm going to put it that way.
Even though you're in the fifth ranking on the board.
I can't remember how that's done. I think it's maybe who enters in their stats first. You know, their picks first.
Hmm.
I don't remember, but that's not necessarily a tiebreaker. You know, if you're tied at the end of the year, you're tied for first. And JP, I didn't check because I can't see yours. You're in what place?
18th.
That's not bad.
I'm only two back of you.
That
at 15-7.
That's not bad at all, actually.
So I'm ranked 18th, but I think I'm higher up in the tie.
Yeah, tied for something.
Right. I am 9th on points, pick'em points, but I know you don't play the pick'em
points. I don't. No, I never have.
And 8-Ball can't.
No, what funny thing is, speaking of 8-Ball...
He doesn't have an opposable thumb.
No, he does not. No. I would hate to see him try and throw a ball.
Ugh.
Yeah. But 8-Ball actually has its own team in the fantasy. So see if anybody can find out who he is. Should be hard.
Oh, is he an Easter egg? We got to find him.
Yeah, it's actually like a scavenger hunt type of thing. You know, it's like that iPhone. Oh, never mind. At least I know I'm not going to have to cut out this much of the show this week. Thank God. Or am I? All of a sudden I'll be like, and welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Right. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And then you hear music at the end when you're not supposed to.
Welcome. You've got goodbye.
Yes, goodbye. We talked about it last week. Facebook site, supposedly for the Arena Football League, was maybe to be taken over by the league itself or whoever was owning it, the site on Facebook. It looks like it's been taken down. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. The league has shown its wrath. Oh, what's this? Oh, I got an alphabet letter. I got one of those lawyer alphabet letters. It says C. It's brought to you by the letter C and the letter D. Thank you very much. We'll see if that actually pops up again. That's minor news. That's nothing. There is...
I found the 8-Ball.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I found him.
I told you, he has a stacked team, dude.
Oh, wait. Let me check out his team.
Look at his quarterbacks. Justin Allgood.
Wait, how does he have three quarterbacks?
I
see. He only has one fullback.
Right.
Not smart. Not smart, 8-Ball. Not smart.
Going down, 8-Ball.
Got big V.
Yes. I hear you got the big V, too.
I have big V as well.
Wow.
Yes.
Is there any sort of ointment or something that you could use to get rid of it?
I think it's eating less cheeseburgers.
Eating less cheeseburgers?
Yeah.
Maybe some, has to be some sort of Iowa product that you'd have to use to get rid of the Big V.
Big V.
He's looking
good out there. I don't understand, man.
Three touchdowns.
I don't understand why they didn't start him in the game one.
Going back to the history of the former AF2.
I mean, I understand, yeah, the coach.
Villanueva was not a bad quarterback. I think their former AF2 players are having a little bit harder time getting used to this game. It's a faster game.
Right. And that's why Big V does so well.
Because he played in both.
He played in AF2, mm-hmm. but he played in the AFL. So he knows what it takes to be the AFL and why he did so well in the AF2, because basically he was, no pun intended, a bigger player in a smaller league.
Oh, wow.
And Ryan, you know what I mean. You know, me and V are buddies, so he knows what I mean. But
oh, wow.
He was a big dog in a small league, which works, you know. And hey, if it works, go for it.
I think he held.
Screw what everybody else says. Go for it.
I can't prove this because, as far as I know, as I mentioned before, the stats are not combined, or at least I don't have the stats combined in front of me. But I know he put up some monster numbers when he played in Scranton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he did.
So.
He's a good quarterback.
And he put up some big numbers before he summarily left Albany.
Right. I think what it is teams just don't either they're not taking him seriously or they just don't understand just how mobile and how good of a quarterback he is, and they just kind of play him as like, this big guy can't hurt us. And then they find out that in the game they were completely wrong.
Well, Oklahoma City found that out last week.
I sure did. It's hard to come to the barn and win. The new barn.
Yes, it is.
Yep. Their fans are amazing. Amazing fans. So
I hope to go to... I haven't been there. I'd love to go to Wells Fargo just to see a game. It would be like...
I wanted to go to their scrimmage. To the old barn. I mean, wow.
It really wasn't a scrimmage, though. I mean, yes, it was, but I saw, you know...
Yeah, no nets, no boards, but hey, you're still in the barn.
You're
still
exactly.
There.
Yeah.
That's hallowed ground.
In the barn, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Damien Harrell this past week became the second player in Arena Football history mm-hmm. to reach the 1,000 career reception plateau.
And he's on my fantasy team, too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is number two behind, I think, Lawrence Samuels. I think.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, if I remember correctly. And with Lawrence laid up right at the moment of being on the IR, it's possible that Damien will pass him. Now, when you look at Damien Harrell of the AFL and Damien Harrell of the new AFL, how would you think that the current version, just based on his crazy stats alone, 78-game consecutive game streak with a touchdown, how would he rate or rank among the other stars of this league? I mean, you talk about Aaron Garcia. He is... If we had technically a Hall of Fame, he'd be a Hall of Famer. He will be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, will be. I don't know exactly how the AFL Hall of Fame, I think they were inducting people that were still playing and or coaching, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't wait until you retired for X amount of years and right. whatnot.
But I think
who exactly selected these Hall of Famers?
That's
because I know the AFL Writers Association didn't come around until 2000 and 2004.
I don't know if it was how the league did it. Remember the lists, the 20 greatest lists that they did for the 20th anniversary of the league. Right. They actually asked a lot of, they asked Joe over at over here at Arena Fan to weigh his input. So they did actually ask. So I don't know how it was actually done. Maybe it's something that we should ask Commissioner Kurz about if we ever talk to him, or we could ask him the question. But
he keeps ducking our phone calls.
Yeah. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. How would
he's ringing? Doesn't he have a secretary?
How would you rate him? I mean, there are so many different names out there in arena football history that are just names that nobody is ever going to forget. You know, you have your Mike Perez's, you have your Barry Wagner's, you have your Kenny McIntyre's.
Your Honky Coopers.
Your Honky Coopers. Exactly. How would you rate Damien when it comes to, Eddie Brown. Eddie Brown never, if he continued playing, maybe he would have reached 1,000.
Which one? Downtown? Touchdown?
Touchdown.
Or?
No. The Eddie Brown. There's only one Eddie
Brown. Touchdown, Eddie Brown?
Yeah, there's only one touchdown, Eddie Brown.
I know. Talked about.
It's a different game. It's a totally different game than when Eddie Brown was playing. Totally different game. Barry Wagner played both types of games. You know, the old school, then leading up to the pre-NBC,
right,
and whatnot, a little bit to the post,
right.
But
well, I'm looking at the list here. We got Lawrence Samuels, number one,
mm-hmm.
1,028. Damien's got 1,006. Mm-hmm. Barry Wagner, 991, tied with Chris Jackson at 991.
Yes, Chris Jackson too. There's another one.
Yes. Touchdown, Eddie Brown at 950. Mike Horsack at 877. Corey Fleming at 846. Saia Hrachek. Burley.
Hrachek.
Hrachek.
Hrachek, yeah. It's okay. It's like anything Greek. Griesen and Greisen. I've murdered
Saia Burley, 836. Greg Hopkins, 833. Daryl Hammond, 792. Honky Cooper at 775. I mean, and some of those guys played old and new.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. I would say if he passes Lawrence, then he is number one.
Yeah, but overall, when you look at it, I think, and nothing against Damien at all. I mean, I saw him play in New England. I saw him play in Toronto. And obviously we saw him play in what he did in Colorado. I'll always, and again, maybe I guess it depends on which genre or which era, there we go, which era of arena football you have come from. Would Eddie Brown first come to mind? Would Barry Wagner first come to mind? Or would Damien Harrell? You know, being number one overall, yes, it puts you at that highest echelon that you can get, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to stay, be the number one player, be able to be on the same level as some of these other former players. Don't mind you, it's two different games, too. So many rules have changed. You know, it's free substitution now.
Right. Which I'm not happy with.
And then there's Aaron Garcia. Aaron Garcia this week, barring
what are we saying? Are we saying number one receiver in arena football history, or are we saying number one player?
How does he stack up with the other stars that we have grown up with? And it's very hard. You have so many of them. You know, look at the Dan Alexanders. He's still playing. He is the offense, basically, in Alabama. You know, you got your Kenny Max, defense. Barry Wagner, really, defense and offense.
I was going to say Wagner because 265 receiving touchdowns, 127 rushing touchdowns. On defense, he had 47 interceptions,
mm-hmm.
677 tackles. He had 2 sacks in his career.
Damon will be there.
I don't even wonder how he had, but...
Damon will be there. As I said, I don't think...
Did he play linebacker? He must have played linebacker a couple times.
Who?
Wagner.
Oh.
If he had 2 sacks.
He was the... remember, he was the ultimate Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember the days between Eddie...
Touchdowns.
You know, it was the Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa thing between, you know, Eddie Brown and Barry Wagner.
Right.
Either you loved Eddie Brown... Or you loved Barry Wagner and you hated everybody else. Especially the guy who was nipping at your heels. And what about Aaron Garcia? He's still playing. I mean, barring a hurricane, he should be passing the 900 touchdown plateau, passing touchdown plateau. He'll be number 2 all time.
Yep.
So he could easily be... In our books, I think Aaron Garcia, I think Harrell will be known always. I don't see it being broken ever now, especially with a lot of the players that were currently on major streaks before the AFL folded originally back in 08. Harrell will always be known for a 78-game touchdown streak.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the overall picture, I think if we come to the 25th anniversary, and they do another list again. I think it's too soon to do that, actually. But 30 years. They have the 30th anniversary if we get that far.
I was going to say, we haven't even made 25 yet.
I know. But what I'm saying is that...
I know what you're saying.
Where would they rank? So, I mean, Damon, I don't think will ever be... He'll be part of it, but he'll never be... I don't think he'll ever be up there, the top tier. He is a fantastic player. But when you see the past history, yes, the past is the past, I understand that, but I don't think he will be ever in that top. He'll be in that second tier of amazing players that the league has had.
Ah, I disagree. Yeah, I'm a stats guy. And I always say the stats don't lie.
No. And you bring up a good point, because if he goes on a monster rampage, it means that he has had 3 great quarterbacks. To play with. So, no, actually, he had Dutton. He had Dutton in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So, I respectfully disagree. We actually have a full slate, and it's before we finish up the show, we have a couple more things we want to talk about, but we do want to go over the games. We have a full slate of games this week. It's about... Freaking!
We actually head into AFL scheduling.
That's right.
After 4 weeks of AF2 hell we went through.
That's right. There are 3 games on. Oh, we actually didn't go over our picks. But we did. I'll bring them. I'll tell them when we bring up the games here. Iowa is going to Orlando for the home opener for the Preds, and the game of the week over the NFL Network. Both JP and myself picked Iowa for this game.
Orlando fans, Pred Nation, go to the game. Do not make the league look bad for any ill will you have against your owner. It will just make the league as a whole look bad,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't know. Maybe they're going for that as well.
Yeah.
But
or they're really looking
I don't want to see another New Jersey repeat on TV here.
I think they may be just trying to stick it to him like he sticked it to them.
Yeah.
It's possible. Dallas has their home opener, finally. The Visitorados play the Oklahoma City Yard Dogs.
I took Dallas.
I took Oklahoma City.
Dogs still haven't shown me anything yet, and Dallas playing at home being what I would call a toss-up match here have the advantage being at home.
I may get bite in the butt, but you know, with there being no injury report released by the league, hint hint, wink wink, nudge nudge. I do not know if Grady is going to be playing this week. So, as I said, I may be just taking this taking this one up the wazoo because of that. Bossier, Utah. JP's
lock of the week.
Of the week. I don't know what the spread is. I would not be surprised if the spread of this game is at least 10 points. And if it's 10 points and it's Raymond Filia, I'd say you. And I'm not a better. I would take Bossier City.
Yep.
I think needless to say, both of us took Bossier City to win this.
Take Bossier City. Give Utah the points because God knows they need it.
They've improved a little bit, but
yeah.
Saturday, May 1st, Tulsa coming off that heartbreaking loss to the Arizona Rattlers, but that was pure, by the way, pure arena football that I remember. The older days of Albany versus the Iowa Barnstormers. Heading to Jacksonville. We'll see how their attendance does. Does it go down or does it stay consistent from what their home opener was? You and I are actually on the same page on this one, too. We both picked Tulsa to win.
Tulsa, yeah. Sorry, Aaron. You got to pick Tulsa.
But Jacksonville needs to show us a little bit more than what they just did against Orlando, and Tulsa is a better team.
Much better. Yep. Much better.
Arizona, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has another home game. Let's see. Their crowd, not so bad. People are joking that may have been papered a little bit. They said that they drew 14,000. But Tampa, the St. Pete Times Forum, is a larger arena.
Oh, they've got the Tampa turnstiles.
Yeah, one and a half for every one, right?
Oh, I thought it was like four for every one.
Oh, four for every one.
It spins quite a bit.
Arizona coming off their huge come-from-behind win. No, well, last second win. That's actually last second.
I was going to say more of a last second win.
Yeah,
worth the whole game.
And both of us actually picked Tulsa to win this game. Arizona to win this game.
Yep. An old AFL classic.
Yep.
It's not going to be as classic as it used to be.
No. Milwaukee, Alabama. Also on the docket on Saturday. Both of us happen to pick Milwaukee, and I think right now Milwaukee next to Chicago is probably above and beyond one of the better teams in the league this year. And just look at their quarterback, their wide receiving core.
Definitely a team to beat.
Everybody's talking about when these two teams meet in a couple of weeks, that if the NFL Network had flex scheduling, which I don't think they do, that they should be playing this game instead. They're playing on the same night. So it's possible that they might be able to do it, but I don't think that they will. I don't think that they will. It'd be nice to see a matchup. If not, hey, we got Nifty TV, and I've, thumbs up to them for the entire year so far. I've hardly had any problems.
I haven't had any problems. They've done an amazing job, and it's nice to be able to not only watch the games when you want to watch them either live or archived, but the quality. When I took the year off in 2009, I didn't follow the AF2 at all.
No.
And then all the AF2 fans were like, oh, yeah, Nifty TV is the way to watch it. I'm just thinking, oh, yeah, they're going to have this shoddy, arena vision type deal, where it's all going to be grainy and, terrible. And they're doing a good job. You can pick either home or away radio if available, and
The video is
amazing.
It's top, excellent. It's top notch, and it actually goes to the last game of the week. The Winless Gladiators are going traveling all the way to Spokane to play the Shock. Two of the games that I have seen so far on Nifty TV that Spokane has played through this broadcast on SWX out in Spokane, they have their television feed live, and they have a great broadcast and how they do everything. Very knowledgeable. This, if you have a chance to watch it, this would probably be one of the better games to watch on Nifty TV. Yes, it's a 10 o'clock start. I understand that. But you will not be disappointed, even if you just catch a peek of it. Or if you have to, watch it on the archiving. By the way, and Nifty, if you want to sponsor our show, as you can see, we're very high on you. Why not?
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. We'd be more than happy to promote you even more than we do. So, but Cleveland, Spokane, last game on Saturday, both of us picked Spokane, and it's not because of Cleveland itself. I think both you and I agreed it had to do with the actual travel and the atmosphere in Spokane.
Yep. And they've got a good team.
And they have a good team. Mm-hmm. An AF2 quarterback.
Yep.
So there's one quarterback that's actually doing the same thing with Justin Allgood. So. Couple last things before we head off into the sunset this week, Pilgrim. That was horrible. Scoring. Yeah, I know. Scoring is up.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Scoring is way up. Yes, there were only four games last week, JP. There's 517 points scored. It's an average of 129.3 points per game. That, since I have been keeping track in the four seasons, is the highest ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, only by 9 points, because we had 120-point average back in 08. We're averaging a touchdown more than we were back in 08, so we're at 117 points right now. What is it? Is it because the teams haven't gelled? Is it because the teams have gelled, or is it a combination of the players you have, or is it the middle-of-the-road syndrome combination, AFL, AF2, players are not necessarily as good, quote-unquote, than they were previously? What do you think?
I would attribute it to the AF2 factor. The scores in AF2 were always typically higher than the AFL in years past. Because we're playing the same game, we've just got different players and possibly different coaching strategies as well, as we have AFL and AF2 coaches coaching in the league, or former AFL, former AF2 coaches. I just see it as, I'm not going to say the defenses are worse off or not. It's just that typically in the former AF2, the point scoring was higher.
And I really hate to do this to you on national taped radio. I think this is probably one of the few times where I'm actually going to call you out and say, shenanigans, boy, shenanigans, you are really way off. You're really way off. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that to you. But through their history.
Is it lower?
It is lower.
Really?
Through their history, in the 10 years the AF2 was around, they averaged 94.6 points per game. Their highest ever average was back in their last year of 2009, where they averaged 103.7.
Oh.
But besides that, they were just...
What's up with all these 70-point teams, or were they lopsided blowouts that all these AF2 teams had? The teams that scored 103 points?
Those were in the early days, though.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the scoring, the average score for the... for the losing team has gone up.
Oh, okay.
But...
so there were blowouts.
Oh, there were some, yeah, for sure. But there weren't as many 100-point games as you're making it out.
Oh, well, no, no, yeah. I think there were only two.
I mean, even in the AFL, but I think the amount of teams... You know what? I am going to check this because...
So, what was it? Dragons and...
Yeah, it was
Cobra.
Dragons and the Carolina Cobras.
99-76, I believe.
99-76. Yeah.
Yep.
You're right. But
I do remember some things. I mean, I'm getting old and I'm forgetting certain things. I do remember the AFL stuff, at least. But I mean, I really didn't follow the AF2. In my defense, I really didn't follow the AF2. I would just see certain scores that popped up and see the teams, some teams were scoring 70 points on a regular basis, and that a couple teams had broken the triple digit, into triple digits. So I just assumed that this was a natural occurrence in the AF2, that it just became kind of like a pitch and catch league.
Right.
Where they were just, you know, running up the scores and whatnot. But
90 points.
I guess I wasn't.
Yeah, 90 points in the AFL was reached only three times.
Okay.
80s, a ton. There are a ton of teams that scored 80 points. Even your lowly Houston Thunder Bears.
Oh, I'm sorry. 99-68 was that score in 2001.
And even this year, we've already had one that was in the top 20 in total points scored. We had a game this past weekend that was 153 points. 153 points. Factor, I really think on my end, I think it is a middle of the road factor. I think it's a combination between two different types of players. It's the same. The defense, I think, are a little bit weaker. It's only 7 points difference currently through 4 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've only played 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But
at the rate we're going, it may end up being a touchdown at the end of the year. But who knows? It's something we can revisit later on, and then we can truly say what was the issue. Plus, we also have to think that is it an AFL to AF2 player thing? Right now, with all the former AFL quarterbacks playing and wide receivers, could be a huge factor too. But it's too early. It's too early to tell. I just think the scoring is up, but we'll revisit, 13, 14 weeks down the road. So, reminder to everybody who hadn't listened to it, you will be able to listen to a unique show that we have brought to Arena Fan this year. It is called AFL Roundtable. It is where myself and JP bring in fans from across North America to talk about the Arena Football League shootout style. Anything goes when it comes to the AFL Roundtable. You currently can listen to the March 2010 edition. It is currently available on iTunes. We will be broadcasting shortly the new one. You will also be able to listen to it very, very shortly, as you will be able to listen to this podcast. But obviously, if you're hearing me say that, you're listening to us now anyways. You know exactly what to do. It's a no holds barred thing. Over the rope battle royal. So I always try to do the same exact analogy.
Nice twist to it.
I know I'm doing the same exact analogy, and I always seem to stumble on it. Always, whatever. Enjoy the games this week, people.
Get out to your home team's games.
Exactly. Support the league. Support it as best you can. If not,
especially Cred Nation, I implore you guys to go out and watch your team play. You guys are going to be on national television.
Pack the joint. You know, if you have to, buy another ticket. Bring that blow-up doll. Everybody will be...
Put those blow-up dolls in the seats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody there is going to love to meet your girlfriend. You don't have anything to worry about. You'll be... Fred fans, I love you. You know this.
Wow. Okay, we're down to two listeners.
That's
now.
That's right.
Sure. Alienated our Orlando fan that
That's
listened
right.
to us.
That's right. Oh, boy. Anyways.
Everybody, get out to your games.
Get out to your games. Enjoy the league. Full slate. And, let us know what you think. There are multiple ways of doing it. You know how to do them.
Love feedback.
Exactly.
Good and bad.
Exactly. And,
bad is all we get, but, we'll take it.
Again, we are trying to do a live broadcast. We are looking forward to it. We will let you know specifically when it's going to be and when we're going to be able to do it live. We'll be able to include you, the fans, for the first time in a long, long time on AFL Tonight.
Yep.
Be able to get your opinion live on the show. And I think that'll be the capper specific. No pun intended. I didn't mean to do that. For this season. Here at AFL Tonight and at Arena Fan.
Well, I think it would put them on the sidelines.
Oh, man. Always got to get the last word in, don't you? Either way, for everybody here at the AFL Tonight crew, we want to thank you for joining us. For JP Worley, on the other side of the glass, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.